people who kill themselves is because they don't see any way out of the particular situation. In other words, don't give up. Today's reflection is how to deal with your enemies. How to do what? How to do what? How to deal with your enemies. In the first reading, Abishai said to David, he said, God has given your enemy into your hand this day. God has given your enemy into your hand this day. So the same thing to you. I want to say to you today that God has given your enemy into your hand this day. Why are you not confident in responding? I say God has given your enemy into your hand this day. Why would you even say amen? Is that a prayer? Yes, God has given your enemy into your hand. The question is, what do you do with them? What do you do with them? Your enemies are in your hand already. So what do you do with them? Tell your neighbor, your enemies are in your hands. Unless you don't know who you are, if you know who you are, first thing to know is to know your position in Christ or your position in God. When you are dealing with enemies, know your position in God or take your position in God. Let me tell somebody, take your position in God. Psalm 110, he said, the Lord said to my Lord, or the Lord's revelation to my master, whichever one, he said, sit at my right, your foes I will put beneath your feet. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right, your foes, your enemies, I will put where? Beneath your feet. So why would I put your foes beneath your feet? Because you are sitting at what? At my right. In other words, you have taken your position by me. Then he said, the Lord will wield your scepter. Your scepter is your authority. He said, the Lord will wield your scepter from Zion. Rule in the midst of all your enemies. Rule. So God does not take away your enemy, but he said, rule in the midst of them. Once you take your position in God, your enemies are placed under your footstool, you can rule in their midst. Do you understand? Do you understand that? Colossians 3:3 says, your life is hidden where? In where? In Christ. So the first thing to know is that God is your defender. God is what? Your defender. That your enemies do not have power over you. When Jesus was before Pilate, and Pilate said to him, are you refusing to answer me? Do you not know that I have power to execute you and also to release you? What did Jesus say to him? He said, you would not have this power if it were not given to you from above. No, no, Jesus is not disputing the fact. Jesus said, yes, you have the power. Look at you, a common creature. You have power over your creator. Look at you, a common earthly man. You have power over a heavenly man. Look at you, somebody I can simply blow breeze now and you will disappear. Yet you have power over me. Yes, you wouldn't have if it was not given to you from above. So nobody will have power or dominion over you if God did not give it to the person. So take your position in God, take your place in Christ, and stop being unnecessarily scared of some of David's case is that Saul was even chasing him. In your own case, nobody is chasing you, you are running. In David's case, Saul was chasing him to kill him. But you, most of you here who are running from one pillar to post, nobody is chasing you. Where are you running to? Who is chasing you? Some of you just create imaginary enemies that are not there and begin to run. Oh, I have so many stories to tell. I think I've told you this before. The madman who was chasing people in the village, and everybody was running, and somebody on crutches too, one man with one leg was running too, running for his dear life. The madman reached him and told him, "Oga, wait, wait, where are you going to?" And the man was panting, and "My own has finished." The madman said, "Calm down. Look at all these people running. They have two legs. I am chasing those who have two legs. It's when I finish with them first before I will now come to one-legged people. I am not chasing you. Don't go and kill yourself." David was chased. Many of us, nobody is chasing us. And you are running. And the reason you are running out of fear, you are not taking your position. Everything is enemy for many of us here. Christianity for many people now is how to defeat enemy. Okay, I don't want to go too much into that. How to deal with your enemy, number one. Love your enemies. I am not the one who said it. It is in today's gospel. So Abishai said to David, this is David, though Saul was chasing him to kill him. And David came into Saul's camp. He was sleeping. His weapon, everything, all his commanders, everybody were sleeping. And Abishai said to David, wow, this is the kind of news many of us would like to hear. He said, today God has put your enemy in your hand. Abishai said, my Lord, you don't even need to do more. Just let me take his own spear and kill him while he's asleep. What did David say? Praise God. What did David say? He said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. David didn't do anything to him. Love. Love your enemies. Why? 1 Corinthians 13:13 says there are three things that last: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is what? The greatest is what? It means that love is the greatest revenge. Love is the greatest gift. Love is the greatest response. And God is love. God is love. You see, the problem is that we don't know what love is. By this, Jesus is also giving us a radical redefinition of love. We don't know what love is. What many of us call love is trade by barter. What many of us call love is trade by barter. I give you this, you give me that. If there is no this for me and that for you, I will not give you love. It is trade by barter. Abi barter. I give you the story of two people who were in love. Anita and Sunita. For those of you watching their movies, Anita is the girl. Sunita is the man. They were in love. Anita had a very long flowing hair, more than Brazilian hair. Sunita had a nice wristwatch, but there was no chain or leather. So Valentine's Day came, they didn't know what to do. They didn't have money. So Anita decided to surprise her boyfriend. She decided to go buy him a gold chain for his wristwatch. But to do that, she had to cut her long natural hair and sew to one of the guests in Kubwa here who wanted to buy Brazilian hair. And then she used the money and bought gold chain for the guy. The guy in Mao too wanted to also surprise her. He wanted to buy him cosmetics that will fit into her precious hair. So he too went and sold out his wristwatch and bought it. When the boy came back in the evening, when he saw her, he couldn't believe it. What happened to your hair? He was startled. What happened to your hair? She now smiled and told him, I bought you a gold chain for your wristwatch. I didn't have money, so I had to sell my hair. And the guy shook his head and started crying. I said, I sold the wristwatch to buy you this cosmetics. Now the hair for which he bought the cosmetic has done what? Has gone. Why the wristwatch for which he bought the chain has also what? Is that not love? Eh? Is that not wonderful love? Sweet sacrificial love. Very, very sweet. Okay, hold on. If Sunita were not the lover of Anita, so just imagine Anita, this pretty girl with this long flowing hair, then there is a very haggard looking old hungry man coming her way, and the man is about to die, and the only thing that can save him immediately is intervention, buy food immediately, and she does not have money anywhere to buy food. She cannot bring money, and the only thing left is for her to cut her hair and sell and buy food and give to the man. Will she do it? Why will she not do it? Eh? I'm asking, why would she not do it? Eh? There is nothing she's getting from the old man. She is all of you. She is all of us. Say somebody, all of us, all of us, all of us. Tell somebody, all of us, all of us. That is what we do. The first scenario is what you call love. But in the sight of God, that is not love. That is trade by barter. You see, the reason you don't love your enemy is because there is nothing you are gaining from him or her. Or you think there is nothing you are gaining from him or her. What we call love is trade by barter. If there is nothing in it for me, forget it. But today, the Lord is pushing us to the real love. It is easy for you to love your child. It is easy for you to love your wife. Is it for you to love your friend? But how about the person you are not related to, you may never even see? What about the person that has no prospect of paying you back in any way? What do you do to such person? How much more your enemy, the person who you know does not wish you well at all? Romans 5:8. To prove his love for us, it was why we were still sinners. That Christ did what? That Christ did what? It was why we're still sinners, why we're still enemies. That he died. See, love is not easy. And Jesus said, this is what actually makes you a child. Listen, you can be a Christian without being a child of God. It's possible to be a Christian without being a child of God. He said, this is what makes you the son of your father. This is what makes you the son of your father. So love your enemies. And then sometimes, one of the benefits of loving is that you might change the person through love. Praise God. Praise God. You might do what? You might change the person. Remember, the Lord does not delight in the death of a sinner, but that the sinner might do what? Might change. So you might change the person. Today I have so many stories, so I have time. Let me give you another one. Story. Once upon a time, it happened in Kubwa in your family. Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law feud. You know, sometimes it can go to murderous level. So there are this mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, they were not seeing themselves eyeball to eyeball. The woman was living with a son who is married. The daughter-in-law and the mother, they were not, it got to the point that they were going to kill themselves. So the girl went and met one sage or one wise man and said, please give me a poison that I will use and kill my mother-in-law. She's a thorn in my flesh. And I want a poison I can use so that nobody will know. And she said, just give me a poison to eliminate her. The old man said, okay, no problem. Go, come back after 3 days. She went, came back after 3 days. The old man said, listen, you want to kill her? He said, yes. You know, if you kill her, and she dies instantly, you'll be suspected and you'll be caught. The girl said, yes. So the man said, I will give you a poison that will kill her gradually. So that when she eventually dies, nobody will suspect you. The girl said, yes, that's very good. So the old man gave her something and said, now when you go, pretend to be nice to her. If she insults you, don't insult her again. When she insults you, just smile. Because you know, if you don't do this thing well, they will suspect you. So pretend to be nice to her. If you have not been washing her clothes, start washing her clothes now. If you have not been passing food for her, start passing food, start cooking. Just be nice. Then, whenever you do tea for her, take a little of this poison, put it there, and give to her. As she keeps drinking it, just give her 1 month, 2 months. On the third month, she will now die gradually. But first of all, start being nice to her. And the girl said, okay. And she went home and started being nice to the woman. And after a while, she now started making tea for her in the morning. She will hide and put a little of that in. This continued for 1 month. In the second month, towards the end of the second month, she noticed that the mother-in-law's attitude too has changed. That the woman was now being very nice to her too. And the atmosphere had changed. And then she now remembered that she has been putting poison, and the poison is supposed to kill the woman gradually. She now became afraid. How can I kill this woman now who has become so nice to me? So she now ran to the wise man and said, please, I don't want to kill my mother-in-law again. The man said, why? He said, her attitude has changed. She is not very nice to me. Please, please give me something that will stop the poison from killing her. And the old man laughed and said, I didn't give you any poison. What I gave you was honey mixed with some other things. It was not poison. She will not die. By the way, why do you not want to kill her anymore? Say her attitude has changed. The old man said, that is the key. Because you were treating her nicely, she too started doing what? Love them, for it's a commandment. Then, look at a bigger picture. Your enemy might be in the equation of what God wants to accomplish in your life. Praise God. Did you hear that one? I say your enemy might be in the equation. Your enemy might be the X plus Y all over 1 equals to this. He or she might be in the equation. So if you remove the enemy, you have destroyed what? The result of the equation. Take Joseph for example. Joseph. If his brothers did not become his enemies, would he have gone to Egypt? I'm asking you now. Would he have gone to Egypt? If he didn't go to Egypt, would he have become prime minister? Eh? How did he go to Egypt? Was it not through the enmity of his brothers? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. If Jesus did not die on the cross, would you and I have been saved? I'm asking you. Would you have been saved? Who killed him on the cross? Was he his friends? Was he not enemies? He's not enemies. God can also use them in the bigger picture. Nobody has even made it in life who has life too easy. Check anybody who has life very easy. They don't make it high. There is a little... Listen, they will go to... When life becomes too easy, no enemy, no challenge, no difficulty, and all of that. People don't usually make it very easy. That's why the children of most rich parents, their children do not make it greater than their parents. And some of them become extinguishers of wealth. Make life very easy for your children because you have money. Keep buying all the good things in life. Buy whatever they want. They want to go for a holiday in Dubai. Fly them first class. Let them shop in all the places in Dubai. You bring them back to Abuja. They are in the poshest school. Driver will take them to school. Bring them back. Somebody will be there to do homework for them. They will drink milk, eat chocolate, do everything they want to do. They have money in excess. They are doing youth service. You have already bought a car for them. Where they will work, you have already worked it out. They don't know what is challenge. My friend, when those children will crash? Many of you have bought this trending Christianity of die by fire. And how you even came to believe in that nonsense is what I don't understand. What makes you think that God answers stupid prayers? You have been taught to believe, and if it is during prayer now, I tune a prayer intention. Okay, let us pray for peace. Let us pray for love. Let us pray for harmony. See the way people respond. But once I say, we are now going to take authority. Anybody who say you will not make it this 2019, hey, come and see. Come and see. Now you will not see people warming up. Come and see warming up at that point in time. Come and see Moses. Once you tune a prayer point that has to do with roasting and destroying the enemy, where the energy and the muscle will come, I don't understand. He said in the gospel, he said, wish them well. Wish them well. Wish them well. How many of you say genuine prayer, positive prayer for your enemies? You just see the girl who has been tormenting your life in the compound. And she's about to go for an interview for a job. And she just picks her thing and she's going. What comes to your mind? Ha, Heavenly Father, may she never succeed. In fact, that car that will take her to the office, let it crash. How many of you will kneel down and say, Lord, my enemy is going for a job interview. Please, I beg you, may she succeed. Give her the job. It is very strange. But this is what Jesus said. So you have to tell me today. Joshua said, choose you today whom you will. Sir. Whose model of prayer are you saying? Holy Spirit does not kill. Holy Spirit is not a murderer. He's not an assassin. He will not be an accomplice. Pray for your enemies and say positive prayers for them. If you have not been doing that, you are wasting your time. There is no difference between you and a pagan. That's what Jesus is saying. If you are here and you say any negative prayer against your enemy, wishing them bad, even this one that, Father, I take authority in the name of Jesus, anyone who says that my water will not boil this year, let the person not wake up. You know, God does not answer those prayers. He doesn't. It is very clear. You go to Romans chapter 12, the same thing. St. Paul says, pray for your enemies. Wish them well. Never pay back evil with what? Evil. Rather, pay back evil with good. That's love. And then some of you even go to the extra mile of going to find out who your enemies are. Well, I have news for you. Go ahead, find out who all your enemies are. When you are finished finding them out, God reveals them to you through whoever. Remember, what did God say you should do to your enemies? You should do what? Do what? Do what? Pray for, love them, pray for them, and do what? Do good to them. And so go about, keep looking out, finding out who your enemies are. By the time you discover that there are 20, that means you have 20 prayer points. Many people don't believe what Father is saying. The one you believe is one who will invoke fire on your enemies. It is Jesus that is speaking. You heard it. Pray for your enemies. And then finally, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, relax. And believe in the law of sowing and reaping. He said, the measure you give is the measure you will do what? The law of sowing and reaping means you will get what you sow. It has nothing to do with the person. Come, make two of them now. Come, come, come. Come now, make we finish this sermon. Two of you, come, 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 come. You can see two of them, ba? This is my friend. He's very good to me. This is my enemy. She wants to kill me, like Saul. Now, she does not deserve anything good. So if I carry something good and sow in the life of this person, he is good. Something good will do what? If I carry good thing and sow in the life of this person who doesn't deserve it, what will happen? She deserves something bad, a bad seed. Okay? This one is good. He deserves good. I'm talking about from your own judgment. So if I sow good thing here, what will come back to me? What if I sow good thing here? Huh? Why will he come? Huh? Are you sure that if I saw something good here, good will come to me? Are you sure? She's my enemy. Oh. Now she won't kill me. Now she hold my womb, make I never give birth. I should still saw something good. The response don't come down. Should I still saw something good? And good will come to me? So you know all this why. See now. God does not deal with you based on the personality of the person you are dealing with. He deals with you based on what you are doing to the person, not who the person is. So when you sow good seed on somebody you consider evil, what God is looking at is what you sow. Not who you are sowing it. Then what will come back to you is what? What you give to the person. So if this person is evil and I sow evil seed, what will come back to me? Evil harvest. So when he said, bless your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, God is simply saying, sow something good and goodness will do what? Will come to you. So from today, I bound you. I bound you from either wishing. It will start from the heart too. Don't wish your enemy evil. It's not easy. As I'm speaking here, I know the Spirit is ministering. I know many of you here who don't even believe what I'm saying. But whether you accept it or not, that is your problem. Don't wish your enemy evil. Pray positively for them. Even when it is not easy, carry the courage. Pray positively for them. Find opportunities to do something good for them. Now that is how to deal with your enemy. And this is not possible until you go to second reading. Second reading is talking about nature. It is in the nature of your enemy to hate you, but it is in your nature as a child of God to do what? To love you. Don't let another person's nature destroy your nature. Your nature is 2 Corinthians 5, 17. For this same reason, all who are in Christ are new creatures. The old has, and everything has done what? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Most people who kill themselves is because they don't see any way out of the particular situation. In other words, don't give up.